Well, after 4 weeks of emotional highs and lows, the World Cup soccer circus is finally moving on, and the celebrations may be losing momentum, possibly more a case of weary bodies than fading spirit. Many lessons were learned over the last 30 days, from the best face paints all the way to varying levels of head-butting severity. But some lessons have more staying power than others, and even an impact on your wallet. If you've learned any business lessons from the World Cup, let us know at 800-989-TALK or email us at talk@npr.org. Matthew Lin is a London-based columnist for Bloomberg News. In today's column on Bloomberg.net.com, he listed the top six business lessons to be learned from the World Cup. He joins us now by phone from London. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good evening.
Well, Matthew, let's go through some of those lessons. The first is experience often outwits youth. Now, how did we see that played out?
Well, it's one of the kind of big themes, I guess, if you're following the World Cup. As the tournament started, the French in particular, no one gave them a chance. Zinedine Zidane, who a few years ago was probably the best player in the world, had actually retired and had to be coaxed back by the French team to play for his country again. And, of course, they did brilliantly. They got all the way to the final. They didn't do so great in the final. But even some of the Italian team weren't given much of a chance at the beginning, but they're pretty experienced. And that's, you know, in business, as in soccer, there's kind of a cult of youth. People always want the younger person managing their money or managing their company. But it's not always true. Sometimes the older guys play better.
And the second one, chaotic management will bring disaster, which, of course, I'm sure many people have experienced in the business world. How did we say that played out in soccer, and what should business learn from that?
Particularly a hard lesson for the English. We were really optimistic when the World Cup started because we've got a pretty good club of players at the moment. A lot of people think, quite rightly, in my opinion, that this is one of the best crop of soccer players we've had for a generation or so. But it really didn't happen for the English. I mean, the team was under the management of a rather odd Swedish guy with glasses called Sven-Göran Eriksson. We didn't have any strikers there. We didn't have a formation settled. He was chopping and changing it all the time, and the team played pretty badly. And you see that all the time in business. I mean, you see companies with great assets, terrific products that really don't make the most of them. And it doesn't matter the lesson. It doesn't matter how good your assets are. If you don't manage them well, you're not going to do well.
So what's the tip we should take away from that?
That one, I could have looked at tips of all of these. I mean, on the last one, we were just talking about the old guys do better. I was thinking about Berkshire Hathaway, because, of course, Warren Buffett, he's 75, but he still manages to outperform a lot of the young hedge fund managers. On the chaotic management of Vodafone Company, which I think owns half of Verizon in the U.S. as well, biggest mobile phone company in the world, has terrific assets, should be doing really well as telecoms integrates with the media and so on. Not Vodafone. Their shares are still about a third of what they were 6 years ago because they can't seem to make up their mind what they're doing.
Okay, one of my favorites is never write off old Europe. And tell us how that played out and what the tip that we should learn from.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the start of the tournament, it was Argentina. The Argentinians have always got a pretty good soccer team, but they were absolutely fantastic. They were playing terrific football. The Brazilians are always good, and a lot of people were thinking that they were the team and going to win the tournament this year. But the African nations are getting better and better and better, and a lot of people thought this might be the year where finally one of the new African nations manages to go all the way to the semifinals or maybe even the final itself. Didn't happen. By the time you got to the final, it was France, Italy, Germany, and Portugal, the traditional footballing powers. And the tip that I drew for that, just never write off Europe and buy the euro. You may think that the European economy is a bit of a dog with too high taxes and too much regulation. And to some extent it is, but Europe has been the center of global wealth and power for about 2,000 years now. And that's a long-term trend. You'd bet against that at your peril. So whatever difficulties it has, they'll fix them at some point, and they'll be back. Never write them off.
Well, listen, Matthew, how good are your investment tips anyway? Who were you betting on seeing in the final?
I was betting on an England-Germany and an England-Germany final, but that's something everybody does in investment. Just like everything else, you let your emotion cloud your actual judgment, because I think I wanted to see England in the final, so I sort of believed it would happen. But we all do that. Of course, the lesson from that is don't let your emotions or what you want to happen cloud your judgment. You've got to look at what's really likely to happen. And probably if I'd been looking at that, I'd have made a different prediction.
All right, Matthew, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Matthew Lin of Bloomberg News. This is Talk the Nation from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington.